Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 118, if you have your Bibles, and just want to take a moment and read a psalm that's just a precious section of Scripture that many of you are familiar with already. Psalm 118, starting in verse 1, says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let Koinonia say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." That means in government, is what that means. Verse 10, "All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off." And skip down to verse 13. "I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation." Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. You know, it's so awesome just to take time to focus on God and remind yourself about how good God is, about how He endures and His faithfulness endures, His strength endures, His supply endures forever. And so we want to take a moment to do that this morning and give you an opportunity to give thanks in a way that we can celebrate with you. And so we've got two mics here. I've got Chris and Aaron that have roving mics, and we're going to move through the crowd. And in just a second, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you would like to give thanks. And we want to give you a time for that. You know, we're looking for maybe about 20 to 30 seconds of you giving thanks because we want to give room for everyone or those that would want to. You can't speak for too long. We know that we're excited about what you have to say, but we're more excited if you can say it in 30 seconds, right? And so so if you have a testimony to give that you just would want to say, God, you know, I want to praise God because even though we lost our job this year, or even though we had financial difficulties, even though this happened in our life, even though we were sick, you know what? He came through. And He was our provider. He was our healer. He was our sustainer. And so if that's you this morning, just stand up where you're at, and we'll just take about 5 or 6 minutes doing this. And Chris and Aaron will come to you and give you an opportunity to say that. So quickly, stand up right now if you are desiring to do that.
How many of you lost a loved one this year? You feel like your life's been pruned a little bit? Well, just think about it. Yeah, you've lost a loved one, but there's been reality been brought to place here. Our family's been brought closer together because of those losses. If this church hadn't been here, I don't know where we would have been physically and spiritually, thanks to Pastor Tim. Financially, if you haven't taken the Financial Peace University class, I recommend you do it, because when my father passed away in March, I had a sibling that took him and my stepmother for over $100,000. Had I not taken that course, my wife and I not taken that course, we would not know what to do. Unfortunately for her today, she has to deal with what she's done. But for us, we feel peace and happiness of what's gone on.
I just want to thank God. My dad had a blood transfusion and a major surgery. And my aunt is right now has terminal liver cancer. My mom was given the strength by God to take care of both of them. And my aunt is at home now with hospice, and my dad is doing very well. He's come through, has a pacemaker in now, and so I just want to thank God for that, and giving my mom the strength and keeping my family together.
Good morning. My heart goes out to both you, brother and sister. I will pray for you. I'm thankful for the Lord for allowing me this last year to really get to reestablish my life with Him. I lost my job. It's going to be a year, and it's given me opportunity to realize that I need to get closer to Him and appreciate Him, no matter through the bad times and the good times. I'm currently enrolled in school, and I'm going to be completing that in the next 3 weeks, and He's promised me a good future, and I'm thankful for him for that and my family. Thank you.
Aaron, we have a couple up here.
Good morning. I'll try not to take too much time. I'm very thankful this past year. I mean, God has proved himself over and over to me. I was with my boyfriend for 10 years, and we got married 3 months ago. Not sure where we're going. We had an apartment. I didn't have a job. Now I have a job. I'm going into the RN program in January. I'm so thankful for that and blessed. We're closing escrow in a house that we're buying this week. Thank you, Lord. I mean, even though finances and the economy is not certain, he is, and he will continue to be. Even when I go to school, my finances are not certain, but I'm leaving it in his hands, and my husband has a job, so I want to be thankful for everything that he's done in our life this year.
Hi, my name is Dolores, and I'm so thankful for God has blessed me in July with a brand new part-time job. And praise the Lord, November 1st, I qualified for benefits, and it's a part-time job. I'm very thankful.
I'm real thankful, God. My mom, about a year ago, had some cancer. God healed her from that, and so she was able to be here for my wedding. And I'm real thankful for my mom. And right now, hopefully this week, we're going to be closing escrow on our house too. So God's really blessed me and my children and gave us a good man that's been by my side. So I just want to say thank you, God.
Thanksgiving is a special anniversary for me. It was the day before Thanksgiving 5 years ago that I had my brain tumor, the brain tumor that Satan delivered on me that was not mine. I had it removed the day before Thanksgiving. 2 years later, they told me that my recovery was as good as it was going to get. But because I attended the night of worship here 3 years later and was prayed for with hands laid on me, I have continued to heal. My memory has improved. It's continuing to improve. And I'm on less than half the medication that I was told I would always be on. So I really, really encourage you, if you have anything in your life that you'd like to have prayed for and totally removed, attend tonight.
Awesome. Looks like we have three more. So these two, and then Aaron, if you'd go back to the sound booth, I think Corky wants as well.
Hello, my name is Jade, and I'm visiting from New York, but I just want to talk about the goodness of God. A year ago today, I lost my husband, who I was married to for only 8 months. In the last 2 months, I was in the hospital for a month. I'm here because my father had hip surgery, but I just want to say that God is a keeper, and I'm thankful that God is a keeper. I'm thankful that God saved me by his grace, and I'm thankful for his son, Jesus, who died for all of my sins. I just want to give God all the thanks and all the glory because he is truly worthy.
I just want to praise God for everybody who's been praying for me for the past 8 months. I've been out of work for 8 months and 19 days, and Friday I got a job. So working again, thank God. Thank you for praying.
Hi, I'm Dee Dee. I am thankful for life. I'm thankful for my health and my strength. I'm very thankful that Jesus is proving himself as Christ and Lord in my life. He's been my friend. He's been my lover. He's my confidant. He listens to me when it seems like no one else will. He's been my strength for making me bold. I've been fighting the spirit of fear, but I know that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I thank him for the body of Koinonia. I didn't want to come today. The devil was attacking me, saying, although they don't love you over there, you're just into yourself. But you know, God has made the devil a liar once again. I feel nothing but the precious spirit of love in this place. I feel that his word is simple to understand, and it's helping me every time I come through the door. And I just want to say thank God for my now and thank you for my future, because his thoughts toward me are good and not evil, to bring me to an expected end. And I have confidence today that he will perform the work in me, in Jesus Christ. And I just want to say thank you. Amen.
All right, last one. You snuck in, but okay.
I just want to say thank you for all the blessings that I received this year. I had an aunt who passed away most recently from cancer. I loved her with all my heart. She helped raise me. But I know she's in heaven now, and I know she's looking down on me. I've really been blessed. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm where I need to be, all right? And I don't have everything that I want, but I have everything that I need. I have a lovely new wife. I have lovely children. I have a loving family. And I just want everyone to realize that sometimes when things are hard, you got to look back within and see what's around you, what supports that you have, and what makes you you, so that you can rise above that. Because things are hard for everybody. Right now, it's a time of the open hands. All right? But sometimes we just got to reflect and just say thank you. And I just want to say that.
Why don't you just grab the hand of the person next to you, and let's just close our time. You to the King.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, for
your provision. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for the peace that comes from you. Thank you that your joy, God, comes in the morning. That there is nowhere that we can go that is apart from you. That, Lord, you're with us. You never leave us or forsake us. And so, God, we just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts are overwhelmed with gratitude. And, Lord, we know that even though we say it with our mouths, we can never truly express the measure of gratefulness that we have towards you. You have saved us. You've redeemed us. You've separated us from our sin. You have made it so that we can have communion with you once again. And we just pause, Lord, this morning, and we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. And we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, would you welcome Pastor Tim as he comes to give us the word.
In first services, we were given thanks. I remembered an old song that Andre Crouch, if you remember that name, he sang, How Can We Give Thanks? How can we give thanks? How do you give thanks to God for all that he's done? Halloween in our society carries a whole lot more weight than Thanksgiving. If you're not careful, you could pass right over Thanksgiving into the Christmas season. But I'll tell you, God takes note of a person who has a thankful heart. If you choose to focus not on the uncertain things of life, but on the certainties of life, and there are plenty of them, we have a God who's always been faithful, a God who is committed to providing, a God who does heal, a God who does deliver, a God who does lead us in the right ways. When you focus on that which is certain, you'll find that God takes notice of those. I've made a commitment to my family and myself, made a commitment this year, wrote about it in the Sentinel yesterday, entitled the article, Thanks But No Thanks. We've committed ourselves to focusing on thanksgiving and not complaining. We're going to have a heart of gratitude, not grumpiness. We're going to fill our lives and our house with praise. And if anybody comes to you, as I said in the article, I says, if anybody comes to you and wants to focus on the miserableness of life, just say thanks, but no thanks. You're committed to something else. Jesus takes note of that a thankful heart. I have to tell you, I'm really thankful for God's word. I'm really thankful that he has given us the word as a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Every Sunday, we get to open this book up. Throughout the week at Life Lab and various groups and various home groups, the Bible is opened up. God's word to us, his love letter to us, that helps us especially in times of darkness, when you lose your way. I get lost pretty frequently in my spiritual journey, but the Word of God has kept me on track. And I thank Him for that. I thank Him that there is a way that seems right to mankind, but it really does end in death if you follow that path. There's a way of thinking. There's a way of rationalizing, justifying things. But if you follow that human thought, you will end up experiencing death. But the Bible says if you'll follow His ways, that you'll end up in life. I want to talk to you for 25 minutes now about how you and I want to talk about the pathway that God leads us in order to be fruitful. How can we be a fruitful people? We're looking in the book of John. We've been there for quite some time, so turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. It's a passage of Scripture where Jesus Himself talks to us about fruitfulness, and He gives us the plan as to how we can become a fruitful people. Remember that John chapters 13 and 14, they've been in this room where at the point of Jesus' last 24 hours on earth, in this room meeting with His disciples, He's washed their feet. They've had a meal together. He started to talk to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, there's going to come a day when I pour out My Spirit, and I will not only be with you, but My Spirit will be in you. It's important that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. And that happened at the day of Pentecost. In verse 31 of chapter 14, it says, now let's get up and let's leave. So they're now beginning to move from this room that they were gathered in, and they're now making their way to a place called Gethsemane, where just a few hours now from the time when Jesus died for us. And on their way to Gethsemane, this garden-type area where Jesus spends some time with the Father and His disciples, He begins to talk to them about a principle of growth that must be caught by these disciples. In chapter 15, and we'll read 1 through 8, and we'll stop there because I won't have enough time to go on. We'll look at these verses. He talks about a principle of growth, not a rule. You can break a rule, and you can bend a rule, and you might be able to get away with it, but you can't break a principle. A principle will break you. There's only one way to bear fruit in God's eyes, and you have to do it His way, or there's no other way. At the very least, your life will be stunted if you don't pick up what's happening here. And so these are crucial words. These are some of His last words to His disciples, and He's talking to them about how they can bear fruit. I'm going to leave, but you're going to bear fruit, and here's what He says. I'm the vine, true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it'll even bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me or abides in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain or abide in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now I want you to notice the progression there in those verses. There's number one, he talks about no fruit, then he talks about some fruit, then more fruit, and much fruit. So no fruit, some fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And God is a God who wants you and me to bear fruit. We learn in that text, and because of time, I won't point them out, but we just read it and you heard it. Number one, fruit brings glory to God. Really makes Him rejoice. Really makes Him happy when He sees fruit. Fruit reveals who we are. You'll know them by their fruit. I can tell where you're at if I just look at the fruit of your life. But also, fruit helps other people. It blesses people. Adam Medeiros is sitting back there, and others of you who have come by my house periodically, and I think of Adam only because I see him there, and he drops off some peaches. or nectarines. I mean, some beautiful, beautiful fruit that Donna makes into a peach cobbler. And may I tell you, that fruit blesses me. Others have dropped off some really nice tomatoes right out of their garden. There's nothing like fresh fruit. When people have the fruit of Jesus in their life, it blesses people. It glorifies Him. It honors Him. Makes Him rejoice. It nourishes us. It also blesses other people. And it brings joy to the Father. So it's an important thing for you and me to understand that God really does want you to bear fruit. And it's not just for His benefit. It really is for your benefit and my benefit. You know, when I bear fruit, I feel as though I'm producing something. There's something happening in my life. Usually on Monday, I take that day off, and I try to guard that religiously because I feel like I really do believe in the set one Sabbath a week. So on Mondays, I try to just stay home and or do whatever we want to do. And when I just lay around all day and I don't do anything, it's at the end of the day, I feel like I wasted the day. But if I mow the lawn or if I accomplish something, I have some fruit in my life, I feel good about myself. And so that's the way it is with fruit. When you bear fruit, there's some self-fulfilling or self-joy that comes to you. God has created us that way. So he wants us to be fruitful. Now, if you're a parent, I think that every parent here would say, when my kids grow up, I want them to be fruitful. I want them to be successful. Now, fruitfulness and successfulness are two different things, and they're really similar, but yet there is a difference. The word successful is not an unbiblical term. It's not just a cultural term. Joshua talks about, Joshua, if you'll keep your eyes on me, if you'll not look to the right and to the left, and you meditate upon my word day in and out, you'll be successful in all you do. Success means to be victorious, to be an overcomer, to be an achiever, to accomplish some things. There's nothing wrong with that. But in our society, we tend to think of success in monetary terms. We tend to think of success sometimes in material terms. You have a position that's recognized by everybody. You drive a Jaguar. You drive this type of car. You're success. You have these possessions. You're successful. But fruitfulness goes far beyond this concept of success. It's something that started in Genesis chapter 1. He created Adam and Eve, and he says, now I want you to be what? Fruitful. And if you study the prophets, Isaiah chapter 5, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, several of the other minor prophets, they talk about this fact that you and I have been grafted into a vine. We're a vineyard, and God is the gardener, and he's shaping us and making us. Even in Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, self-control, temperance. There's nine fruit that is mentioned there. So this concept of fruitfulness, it involves this concept of success, but it goes far beyond that. Success really has something to do with what's happening to you. Fruitfulness has something to do with what's happening through you. When I think of a successful person, I say, man, they've been fortunate. Man, they've accomplished a lot. Look what they've done. Look what they have. I think of what has happened to them. But fruitfulness is not what happens to you. The focus is what's happened through you. I'll tell you, as a parent, I want my kids to be fruitful. I don't care if they have a position that everybody looks up to or if they're in a lowly position, whatever that might be in our society, as long as they're impacting people and influencing people and having some fruit that others can eat from, it doesn't matter to me what they do in life, how much money they make in life. And that's the way your God looks at us. It's not your location, and it's not the position you hold. It is, are you living in such a way that you are fruitful? Are other people coming to your tree and finding something on it to eat? So we rejoice in that. And God says, I rejoice when my kids are fruitful. So in this text, there are three things I want you to pick up. And as Solomon said, yay four. Okay, so there's three things I want you to pick up. First thing he says is, if you're going to bear fruit, you must abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Now, excuse me. No. I was asking you, what am I supposed to do in order to produce fruit? No. You don't produce fruit. You don't manufacture fruit. You abide in the vine, and He develops the fruit inside of you. See, it's not what you can do for God. It's what God wants to do in you. And how do you do that? If you're taking notes, you can put, you need to abide in Christ. And the second phrase you can fill in is, don't just go out and do something. Stand still and become something. My youngest son, my oldest son, back when they were young, Brad, he was so frustrated with his youngest son when I was asking them to do something. And Eric wasn't obeying. He wasn't helping. And Brad got so ticked off that he said this cliche that all of us have heard, but he got it twisted up. If you've heard the cliche that says, don't just stand there, do something. He got to figure. He says, don't just do something, stand there. Well, that's exactly what God is saying. No, it's not based upon what you do. Does that mean you don't ever do anything? Absolutely not. There's got to be some response that you and I have to God in order to develop fruit. Any farmer here today will tell you that, listen, if you're going to bear fruit, there's a lot of work. You have to do certain things. You and I have to be responsive to the relationship that we have with Jesus in order to develop this fruit, allow it to develop and grow. But ultimately, you can't just go out and do it on your own. You have to abide in Christ. The word abide means to remain. That's why New American Standard says the word abide. NIV says remain. Some versions will even say continue. It means to continue, to remain. It's not just something that happens once in a while. It's something that happens on a day-by-day basis. We have a lot of people who visit on Sundays. And if you're visiting for the first time, I'm not just talking about visitors to a church gathering like this, but we have a lot of people who approach life, whereas I visit God once a week for an hour and 15 minutes, but for the rest of the week, I don't have him. See, abiding in Jesus means you don't leave church today without Jesus. Mary and Joseph, during the Christmas season, they went away and they forgot. They didn't have Jesus. They went back. They were smart. They went back to get him. You know, don't leave home without your American Express. I suggest you leave your American Express home, but don't leave today Jesus at the church and come visit him next week, because it's more than just visiting. It's about abiding. I'm married to this woman for 37 years. She's right down front. Her name's Donna. It used to be Donna Higgins. Now it's Donna Howard. I'm going to go home with her after this service. I'm going to live with her. We're going to talk. We're going to share. I can't tell you how many times I call her on any given day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't talk. I mean, literally, there isn't a day that goes by that we don't talk. I'll call her. Sometimes I call her too much. I can tell that by the tone. I called her 3 times this morning before first service. And the third time was, what do you want? You know, oh, okay. You can't talk to God too much. He loves to talk with you. But relationship develops. See, when I got married, it was the marriage that brought us together in this union. But it's this ongoing, developing relationship that has to happen on a day-by-day basis. That's called abiding. Abiding. Not visiting, abiding. Listen, there's a sign on someone's desk that says, I enjoy all people. I enjoy them when they come, some when they come, and others when they go. But all people make me glad. Listen, if you're going to abide in Christ, you must not just come and go. You must take him with you. There's a big difference. Grandparents, how many of you know that it's sometimes trying to have your son or your daughter drop off at your house your grandchildren and ask you to take care of them for a day or two? But if you've ever had a grandson or grandchildren live with you on an ongoing basis, let me tell you, there's a major difference between your son and daughter dropping their kids off and you having the grandchild all day long. And there's a difference between abiding in Christ. That's if you want to produce some fruit. Some fruit. You notice that? If you want to produce some, you need to abide in Christ. Now, notice verse 2. Secondly, I want you to pick up. If you want to produce more fruit, you have to open up and submit yourself to the pruning process of the Lord. So if you want to have some fruit in your life, then you need to just start abiding with Jesus, just living with him, talking about he will rub off on you. There are some people, when I hang around, I start talking like them. I start sometimes thinking like that. There are certain people who are very influential in my life, and when I'm with them, I go away thinking about what we talked about. I was reading a book this past week by a pastor, and I've never met him personally. That's why I like to read books, is because I get to meet a whole lot of people. And by spending time in this book, it was one of those books that really kind of influenced me. And when I closed it up, I would lay down thinking about some of the statements that he had made. And it influences me. Just hanging around Jesus on an ongoing basis will cause some fruit. But he says, I want you to have more fruit. And if you're going to have more fruit, you have to open up to this thing called pruning. Pruning is basically a term in the Greek that means to cleanse. It's like if you've ever pruned your trees, you can hire them to come in, and it cleanses out all of the old branches, the branches, and it throws them away and makes your tree look nice. They begin to shape it in such a way that it is presentable to you and to others. And it means to cut, to cleanse. It means to chastise. Actually, that wouldn't be a wrong term to use. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the discipline of the Lord. It's not uncomfortable. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good. And no, I mean, does anybody want to be disciplined today? Does anybody want God to cut on you? I don't think any of us volunteer for that. But if you're loved by God and you know Him, He is going to discipline you. He is going to cut some things away because it's not to punish you. See, discipline is not to punish the child, it's to help the child. It's not to the child, it's for the child. When I chastise my grandson, when I discipline him, it is for his benefit. Verse 2, I prune so that you can bear more fruit. And it's not just taking away the bad stuff, it's also taking away the good stuff sometimes. Sometimes you have to cut some good things out of your life because there's no room in the inn for Jesus. I think of last Thursday, Donna, you were out there in the front yard. we have this rose bush that Donna's, my wife's, trying to train to go up the door and around the roof there, and it's gotten fairly long. She was tying it up, and I was trying to help her. It wasn't much of a help, but then she started to prune it. Some rose bushes, I guess, you have to prune all the way back to the nub, but this type of bush, you don't. And she cut off a beautiful-looking rose that was just starting to bud. And you did that why? You didn't even want to do it. But I said, what are you doing there? That's just starting to bud. Let it come out. She says, no, if you want better roses next year, you have to cut this one off now. See, I wouldn't have known that. That's why you don't want me to prune on your life. That's why it's good that he says in verse 1, the Father is the gardener. Always hire someone to prune your trees who knows what they're doing. I killed an apricot tree one year because I saw that it was too big. I went out to prune it myself. Yeah, this isn't too hard. Just go out and cut some branches off. It never produced fruit again. And that's the honest goodness truth, isn't it? It was a great bearing apricot tree. Never bore fruit again because I pruned it. But when God does the pruning, it will bring life. It may hurt for a season, but it will bring life to you. Sometimes it happens through His Word. The Bible says in Timothy that His Word is useful for correction and for shaping and for rebuking and for nurturing people. And sometimes you'll read His Word and He'll just want to cut something off that's not becoming to you. Pruning is a necessary process, but I'm finding that we all as people, as Christians, we don't volunteer for it, and many of us run from it. But if you aren't willing to be corrected. See, we can all agree. How many of you know? Let's have a raise of hands. How many of you really believe in the process of pruning? I mean, it's a biblical process. You believe that you need some correction at times. But how many of us, when we are corrected by someone, we just get all bent out of shape? When someone says, stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. That's not becoming. Don't dress like that. You're dressing in such a way that you're drawing attention to your body parts. The glory of God's in your face. Dress in such a way that the glory of the Lord and everybody's eyes goes right to your face, because that's where God is glory. Stop dressing that way. See, when we start talking like that, all of a sudden I don't like that. Who are you to tell me what to do? You must submit to that pruning process of the living God if, in fact, we are to go from some fruit to more fruit. You need to, when someone starts to tell you to stop, and I think I've even put this in the bulletin, haven't I? If he tells you to stop, first of all, stay humble. Stay humble. If you are approached by someone or God Himself begins to prune on your life, don't just stay humble, but trust the counsel that comes from Him. S-T-O-P, obey the warnings of Scripture. P, please God by giving Him thanks for this pruning process. Even though it hurts, it's hard. You know, it's amazing to me as I look out as a pastor, and I'm not talking to you as a church, I'm talking about the corporate church, that the church at large is full of people who take notes. Some of you are taking notes today. They buy CDs. They'll subscribe to various websites and get iPods, podcasts, and listen to sermons. They'll nod, yes, yes. Say amen. I agree with that. And yet, when we walk out the doors, we don't allow God to do anything in our lives. Yeah, have mercy on us. How many times have I heard, have you heard people say, I want to live a life of purity. How many men have I said, heard say, I want to live a life of purity. I want to be cleansed from my sin. And yet they never take and allow the Holy Spirit to cut the chat rooms that they stay in and the internet connections that they go to. There are ways. I'll tell you, I would rather have, Jesus said in Matthew, I'd rather have you cut out your eye. I'd rather have you get rid of the internet. And if you're going to get on the internet and get to sites, it's going to continue to tear you down and keep you from growing in Jesus. How many times we'll say, I want to be pure, but we will not allow the pruning process of the Lord. How many times will I say, I want to grow in God's Word. I want to know what the Word says from beginning to end. I don't want to just know a few verses. I want to know what God's heart really is. And yet we will not prune away the TV in our home. And it has so much power over our lives. It takes up so much time. How many times do I say, I want to get out of debt. I want to financially follow God. And yet I will not cut up those credit cards. I will not prune away those credit cards. I will continue to give. How many times we go through a Christmas season and hear a message like, hey, we don't have to spend on gifts and buy into this thing called materialism. And yet we'll go right out and do it and put ourselves in so much debt that we're boggled down for the whole next year, 2010. How many times do we do that? See, it's one thing to abide in Christ, but people who want to bear a whole lot more fruit will say, I'm willing to surrender to the pruning act of the living God. What's holding me back? What's keeping me from becoming? Hebrews 12 says, lay aside every weight. Get rid of all the sin. Listen, that's a word for us in 2010. Make sure we're pruning back. Let God prune you in this season. Cut away not just there's a lot of good things that we're doing, but those good things are keeping some of you from growing in Jesus. You're the one who has to determine that between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you that, but you're connected to Jesus Christ and make sure that you're allowing him the privilege of cutting on you. And if you resist that, you'll find that you'll stay in that category of you may have some fruit, but you won't have more fruit. He says that I'm the true vine and you are the branches. Third thing I want you to pick up is if you want to bear much fruit, do you notice the verse that says, it says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches, and if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Third thing, if you want to bear some fruit, abide in Jesus. If you want to bear more fruit, then allow him to prune you. If you want to bear much fruit, never forget who he is and who you are. Never forget your identity and his deity. You don't get to tell God what to do. You and I don't get to come into his throne and say, I don't like the way things are happening. You know, in 2010, in January, I'm going to do a series called In Shape. God's already working on me and cutting a whole bunch of stuff off me. So I said, God, if you're going to cut on me, you got to cut on them too. I don't want to be the only one who's being cut on. And we're going to talk about being in shape, in the shaping hand of the living God. He wants to never let us forget that I have an identity, but my identity is in him. He's God. He's the potter. I'm the clay. I don't ask him how to shape the clay. I'll tell him how to shape. He does what he wants to do. And when you forget that, let's put it this way. If you remember that, you'll bear not just more fruit. Man, a lot of fruit's going to come. And it'll be less frustrating too, because you don't have to try to produce fruit. You don't have to try to make it, you know. You don't have to apples. You don't make it happen. You know, it just gradually happens. I've never seen my hands grow, but this body has grown over the years. I keep eating. keep eating, keep exercising to some extent, keep doing what I'm supposed to do, and all of a sudden you see growth and fruitfulness is a byproduct of abiding, pruning, and keeping the identity of who you are and His deity in mind. And the last thing that I want to leave with you is that if you and I are to bear fruit, we must, as we don't get to read in the text, but he goes on to say, love one another. And I've termed it, bloom where you're planted. When you are planted in a certain place, if you will bloom, if you will commit yourself to where you're at, God will bear fruit. I wrote an article. We do this on a monthly basis. Every week we have an article in the Sentinel, and Andrew and I share the responsibility of doing that. I've asked him to be a part of that, and he's done a great job. And every other week I will write an article, and I did an article about a month ago, and I conclude today by excuse me, by just reading a portion of it, because it's titled Bloom Where You're Planted. A man by the name of Don Pickerel, who's a pastor of a church in Eagle Rock and that I was attending back in my college days. And I was thinking, he was one of my professors in college, and I was thinking about dropping out. I was thinking about maybe pursuing another line of occupation, if you will. He convinced me that this was a vocation, not an occupation, and that I had a calling on my life and that I should stay the course. And so he said, you need to bloom where you're planted. And I recall that, and I wrote this article, and I said these words. When you find yourself planted in an environment that is unfamiliar and a location that is not to your liking, how do you respond? Do you react? Do you retreat to the comfort of yesterday? Do you think the grass is greener on the other side, or have you learned that the grass is greener where you water it? And I went on to use an illustration about Paul, who was in prison, and he wrote some of his greatest books from the prison atmosphere. And he was a thankful man. He actually said in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And he was in prison when he wrote that. He was a man of thanksgiving. He was blooming where he was planted. Joseph would be another example. Man, his family threw him into a pit, and he was taken to a place, and he always rose up. He was put in jail. He rose to the top, wherever he was planted. Do you want to bear fruit? Man, you got to abide. You got to be pruned. You got to understand your identity, and you got to make a decision. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. I visited a man this last week, he and his wife. They met me at his job, his place of his place of employment. And I sat down with them, and they told me about just a few months ago how that they were having questions about the job that he was in, and they were thinking about maybe moving and getting out of town. And then the Lord came to him and says, no, I put you here. You're here. And he made a decision, and now things are beginning to turn around in the midst of difficulty. But he made a decision, I'm going to bloom. I don't need to go there. I don't need to go here. I'm going to bloom where God planted me. Some of you, whenever I do a discovery class, I'm so thankful to discover people who are here because God put them here. Not because they like the worship, not because they like the teaching, not because they like the childcare, but they come because God told them to come. See, if you came and are planted here because God put you here, then you won't leave until God takes you some other place. You want to bear fruit, you can't be a church hopper. You've got to find some little grasshopper. You can't be a church hopper. You've got to find some place where God wants to plant you, and you've got to stay through some of the difficult times, because it's through the difficult times and the things that you don't like, because for every message you like, there'll be one that you don't like. For every worship time we have that's wonderful, there'll be one that they just don't hit it. The child care, they're going to do something to your kid that you don't like. And if our life together is based upon that, we're going to find out that we're all going to go our separate ways. But you have to come because God has put you here. Bloom where you're planted. So I concluded the article and I said this. You may not like the situation you're in right now. Your location, your job, your church, or your marriage. But you still have a choice. You can choose to react to the circumstances, retreat from the present and return to the past, or reach for what God has in store for you now. You can choose to bloom where you're planted or die in the vine. That's the choice we have. I'm choosing bloom where I'm planted. How about you? God, we bow our heads in adoration to you. Matter of fact, why don't you stand as I pray? Sandy, would you come? I'd like to have you just do a little bit of business, but just I'll pray in a second and do a little bit of business with the Lord as she just leads us in this song. And I want to ask you just a couple of questions. Number one, how's your fruit? What fruit do you have at home? What's your fruit look like at home? Would you be a fruit inspector today? Don't inspect my fruit or anybody else's. Inspect your own fruit. Look through the box and find out what is there anything that's spoiled? Is there anything that's contaminating the other fruit? Look into your own life and say, what's the fruit look like in my home? What does it look like on your job? What does it look like out there when you're driving in traffic or you're going to various stores? When you're just out there, at home, at work, out there, what's your fruit look like? Are you resistant to the pruning work of the Lord? Are there some things that you need to throw away? Some of you may be trying to wear clothes that fit about 10 years ago. They just don't fit anymore. You need to take them off. Give them away. Get rid of them. Move on. There may be some things that aren't necessarily sinful, but you say, they were good for the season, but they're really an interruption to me now. I got to lay them aside. And if there are some sins or things that need to be dealt with, deal with those right now. And let's ask God to bear fruit. Father, we come today and we don't want to just be people who just lift up words. We even sang, what a beautiful song that we learned today, and I never heard it before, but I want my words to be more than words. I want my singing to be more than songs. I want the lifting of my hands to be more than just an act. I want there to be praise and worship that actually comes from me. I want to glorify you. We as a church want to bring glory to your name. And the way that we can do that is to bear fruit. More fruit and much fruit. And I believe you have a destiny for Koinonia. I believe that there is in store for us more and much fruit yet to come. Oh God, thank you for the fruit that's already happened. But there is more. And yet, Lord, we'll never see it unless we surrender and submit to the pruning work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. There are people here today who they need to prune some things away. They'll never grow. They'll never have more fruit. They may have some because they know you. They may be going to heaven, but people will not be able to be touched and changed because of them unless they submit to the yielding work of the Lord. So we come to you in closing and ask you to help us in these areas. Lead us in this one song and let's just sing it to the Lord.
Lord, I simply come. To bow before your throne, to open up my heart and worship you alone. I offer up my so let this be my prayer. Lord, I simply come. Lord, I simply come to bow before your
simply come knowing that you're the one who develops fruit in us, but we can be responsive today And I pray for a responsive attitude and heart in this congregation, in the lives of people. An attitude that says, I want to abide in you. I'm willing to be pruned. And I want to keep understanding the identity that I have in your deity, Lord. I pray for these things. Send us forth. And hey, may we bear fruit, Jesus, out there, at our jobs, in our homes this week. We give you praise. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to ask the pastors and prayer teams to come forward. You may be here today, and it's quite possible that you have never even met Jesus as your personal Savior. And in order to bear fruit, you need to know Him. Let us introduce you to Him. Come on down. Let us pray for you before you leave. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Let's have a fruitful season.